Hello, this is Roy Lilly. Well, the junior doctors have balloted for more strikes. There are no talks that anyone wants to talk about, and the scalpel of Damocles still hangs over the NHS waiting lists. Doctors and pay. Always a problem. In 1957, the Royal Commission concluded, and I quote, increased salaries would not attract more young people to medicine or dissuade existing staff from emigrating. Nevertheless, the Wilson government of the time jacked up their pay by 30% and established an independent review body to, and I quote, prevent pay disputes from disrupting the work of the NHS through the even-handed analysis of data and to assure the taxpayer doctors were not earning too much. There have been skirmishes since, but the facts speak for themselves. According to the Medical Schools Council in 2021, courses were oversubscribed 3-1. Nearly 29,000 applicants for 9,500 slots. Training is complicated by the cost, university and clinical placement capacity and the number of clinically qualified academic staff who design and deliver the courses. Every year, training places are capped at around 9,500 places. The NHS Workforce Plan plans to increase medical school places to 15,000 by 2031, and increasing the number of medical students by 5,000 costs about £1 billion. But there's no shortage of applicants. The number of doctors leaving has actually, in truth, increased in the last year. However, the proportion of licensed doctors leaving has actually returned to pre-pandemic levels of just under 4%. And remuneration compares middle-ish with other countries. But there are still not enough doctors. So, not much has changed since 1957. Strikes? Well, junior doctors seem to retain support from half the public. By contrast, strike action by consultants has the least public support. Nevertheless, thousands of people have stoically put up with being bounced off waiting lists in support of doctors trying to level up the value of their inflation-hit wage packets. On Friday, the BMA announced 83% of consultant members in a 62% turnout, probably just over 20,000, had quietly decided to accept the government's offer to end their strike. Dr. Vishal Sharma, the chair of the BMA Consultants Committee, said something about this being, quote, the end of the beginning, and his concern was for patients and the future sustainability of the NHS. Yeah, right. The truth, more like the consultants read the room, knew they couldn't rely on continued public support. The settlement? Weird. If you acquiesced in the consultant's strike in the belief that it was in pursuit of equity and fairness, helping young men and women get on the house ownership ladder and take care of childcare, think again. If you think that the new 2.8% the BMA squeezed out of the Treasury was to reward the average consultant, think again. If you think the overall settlement was to put the value back into all consultants' wage packets after it had been eaten by inflation, think again. If we use the BMA's own numbers, and I linked to them this morning, from the 23-24 pay deal scale that includes the 6% in the first award, and then we create our own average consultant with an income of roughly $115,000 a year, to keep up with inflation, that level of pay would have to increase to $119,370, up by over $4,000. If pay were to be increased in line with current average pay growth, it would mean an increase of $6,500, taking it to $121,440. They failed to get close to pay restoration. This increase would only take them to £118,220, meaning that after a year of argy-bargy over pay restoration, our average consultant is still about $3,000 out of pocket. But, our average consultant doesn't exist. It doesn't work like that. The BMA have agreed a new pay banding system based on years served, 0 to plus 19 years. In fact, band 2 years, get no uplift at all, and band 3 gets just 2.85. Wait for it. If the plan was to stop young consultants in bands 4 to 7 years, the prime target, leaving the NHS for the sunny shores of Australia, they only get 2.85. If the plan was to give established consultants with years of experience and probably many of them earning a nice few quid from the private sector even more money, they have. Bands 14 to 18 years get a whopping 10.59%. Even from this distance, you can see which end of the trough is deepest. The BMA are claiming victory insofar as they'll have a say in the makeup of the Doctors and Dentists Review Body and a tweak in their terms of reference, but if future governments refuse to honour their recommendations, as has happened in the past, they've achieved nothing. I've no idea why consultants who lost a lot of money while striking have settled for a deal where consultants with 2 years' service get no increase at all above the original award. 3 to 7 years get an extra 2.85, and those with 8 and more years get additional awards upwards of double that much, with years 14 to 18 scooping up almost 4 times as much. This is a redistribution that makes well-paid older doctors better paid, younger doctors scarcely better off, and the waiting list no shorter. Discuss. Thanks for listening. This has been Roy Lilly, and I hope we'll speak again real soon. Bye-bye now.